Well, last Sunday I broke the series in Revelation and I preached an Easter Sunday message. And that leaves us a little bit behind today. You didn't know we were on a schedule. We're actually not. But we are in Revelation chapter 6 today. And the first thing I want to do is give you a summary of the book so far. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, we'll have a little fun up here. Well, maybe I'll have fun. I don't know about y'all. So we'll do a little picture review. Okay, we're small enough that you can probably see these. Chapter 1 starts with what? Who's that?
John.
Yep, that's the Apostle John. And anybody know the island?
Patmos.
And what day of the week was it? When he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, which is what?
Sunday.
Yeah, and he has a vision, which is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the making clear about who Christ is. It's a good title for the book. And it tells us all about Christ. The whole book does. It talks first about a vision. And so when you look at chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ means that the making clear, the unveiling of who Christ is. All right. Chapter 1. What do we have here? Okay, this is chapter 1, the vision of Christ in chapter 1. And he rules in his churches, around his churches, seven stars, either seven angels or seven pastors, depending on what you how you interpret it. And seven lampstands. What do the lampstands represent?
Churches.
Churches, seven churches. And if you have one ear, how many of you have one ear? Pull it. Come on. No? Okay. If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the
churches,
plural. Right. All seven of those churches have messages for us today. So the churches, that's in chapters 2 and 3. And then we have already covered chapters 4 and 5. And so this is kind of cool. This is a door. It's hard to tell which way this goes. Maybe it goes like that. A door is opened up into heaven. That's chapter 4. And you'll see that. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So, chapter 4, John leaves the seven churches, and he's going to start to teach us things that take place after these things. After these things, that is, after the church age is concluded, then we're going to go on to other things. And that was chapter 4. And then also in chapter 4, when we get up into heaven, we have some really cool stuff here. You have someone sitting on a throne. We understand it to be God the Father. And then there's 24 of these guys. Who are these? 24 elders, probably out of the church age. So the 24 elders, and they're involved in the worship. Also notice the angels, myriads upon myriads and upon myriads, bunches and bunches and bunches of angels. Then the seven lampstands. What do the seven lampstands represent?
Churches.
No, not the churches here. This is the seven spirits of God. Remember us talking about the difficulties of quantifying spirit. It means the fullness of God's Spirit. And then these four guys in front, anybody want to hazard a guess what they are? What are they called in Revelation? One word, actually it's two words translated, one Greek word, a noun. Living creature. They're called living creature. Okay, and these are not seraphs, they are the other guys.
Cherubs,
that's right. And they have eyes all around, and they have six wings, and one's a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. And I'll send that around because of detail. These paintings are by a woman who's probably as old as I am, maybe older, Marvenko Smith. I picked these up years and years ago. Oh, here, I'll even show you her picture. Since 1975, when her sons were born, she's worked only from her small home studio. I'll send this around as well. No, I'm not going to send the whole stack. I'm only going to do as far as we got. And then you have the opening here in chapter 5. Christ is the only one who's qualified to open the seals on the scroll. Here's your book. It's not exactly right. It's written on the inside and the outside, but you have to use your imagination there. You know, this one's a little bit fanciful, but the Lamb standing as having been slain. That was the end of chapter 5. All right, so today, I'm going to send these around, okay, just because. I'll show you what we've got, and then I'm going to send them around. Okay, so first off, we have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This chapter 6, now I'm actually going into our study this morning. Chapter 6 has three parts to it, okay? The first is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we'll talk about these guys. This kind of light green corpse, this is supposed to be corpse color. So it's not really green and it's not really white. It's kind of grayish. Anyway, that's a corpse-colored horse. And black and red and white, we'll talk about each one of those. And then the second section is of the chapter is the people who were killed by the Antichrist. They're souls of the people under the altar. Okay, well, that's the center section. And now this is the tough one here. The last section of Revelation 6 is an overview of the entire book of Revelation. Okay? I know people think the book is hard to understand. So your purpose in coming here is not to make it worse, but to make it simpler. The structure of the book is really very simple. And in chapter 6, with the breaking of the sixth seal, easy for me to say, he gives an overview of the whole rest of the judgments. So this is like a Windows menu. When you click on the sixth seal, it opens up seven trumpets, and then it opens up seven bowls judgments. So they're all, if you fold them all back up, they're all in this last sixth seal. So what we're going to look at today is Revelation chapter 6. And when you get down to the third section in this chapter, he's going to talk about everything that goes on in the rest of the book. So what John does is he moves it along chronologically. And then he adds material. He goes and finds background material that you should know if you're really interested in what's going on. So when you get to this last one, spend a little time in there. Look at, I'm sure you can find some people falling in. Oh, there's a car going, and an 18-wheeler going off the road into a crevice. So, okay, so if you get bored, when you're done with one, Adam, pass it on so that they'll wind their way back. And since these things are older than my children, I would appreciate getting them back. You can keep my children, but I'd like the slide. So now we should all be together in Revelation chapter 6. Everybody there? Let's look at the four horsemen in verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. So the point that we've come to so far is that Christ is worthy to give the judgments upon the earth. He's the only one that is worthy of doing that. Only Christ. He's the only one that can bring judgment appropriately. And we see this all through Christ, even when he was here on this earth, when he was incarnate. He would determine the length of time of every person's punishment. The pool of Siloam is a good illustration of that. A guy was there for, I believe, 34 years, and Christ comes in and heals him only. You know, just that's the way he works. He's the only one who can actually give out judgments. But after these things, the seal is open. So, and I saw, because the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and as you go through this, you realize that the Lamb is diminutive. It means it's not, you don't see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You don't see a ferocious beast like the kings of the world. Rather, it's the Lamb who opens one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with, as a voice, a thundering voice, "Come and see." And I looked, a white horse, and the one sitting on it having a bow, and it was given to him a crown, a military victor, military valor. So we're talking about the guy on the white horse has a crown of military victory, and he went out prevailing in order that he should conquer. So he's a conqueror and conquering. First the noun and first the participle and then the noun. So he's absolutely victorious. So one question that comes, well, here's a person on a white horse, and Jesus is on a white horse in Revelation 19. Is this Jesus? And the answer is no, this is not. This is the beginning of the tribulation, and this guy on the white horse is the Antichrist. And it's given to him to be successful in conquering all of the nations of the world. Okay, so a couple of, just look up here for a minute, and I'll give you some historical background. Before the tribulation starts, the world is divided into 10 kingdoms. Okay, each with a king. 10. This isn't that hard to do. How many regions are there for DVDs? Just guess. 10. Okay, there's 10 regions. So if you want England, Europe, you have to get region number 2. What they did with DVDs to increase sales, and because that way they can release movies in different areas and not have to do it all at the same time, they took the earth and they broke it like a Cadbury orange chocolate ball. You know, at Christmas time when you get these candies and they're orange chocolate, and you take and you slam it on the table like that in the wrapper, and it breaks it into pieces. Anybody? All right, Steve, a lover of chocolate. That's what they did. They just broke the world into 10 regions. And it's not that hard. You look at the map and say, well, yeah, Australia ought to be a region by itself, don't you think? South America, yeah, North America. So they just broke it into 10 regions, and that's how they sell DVDs. And now in technology, the wonderful age of technology, I bought a DVD player that plays all of the regions. So why did you do that? Because I'm cheap. People buy region 2 DVDs in the United States and they don't play. So then they put them on eBay, and you can buy a whole series of Vera. She's a British mystery detective. You can buy the whole thing for a couple of bucks. So I'm cheap. And it didn't cost that much more than one that just does your own region. But this world is divided into 10 places, and there's 10 kings, and everybody thinks that this is what we need. Now we have arrived at safety and prosperity. The need for military might is diminished, if not eliminated. The world is in peace and harmony, and we can finally deal globally with all of the crises that Christ says are going to multiply in the end times. We're already seeing that. We are in the end times, and there's an increase in earthquakes and so forth. That's before the tribulation ever comes. But out of one of these kingdoms, probably Europe, comes this guy on the white horse, and he's the Antichrist, and he conquers the king of the region where he comes from. The reason I say Europe is because we're told that his mother is Roman. That's a different topic in Daniel. But the Antichrist conquers where he comes up from, where his home roots, and then he conquers two other kings, and then the rest of the seven kings all willingly give him power. And at some place in there, he makes a covenant with Antichrist that actually starts the tribulation period. So the first thing that happens in this time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, is that Antichrist comes into power. Let's look at the next verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come," and another horse went out. This one's a fire-colored, a red fire-colored horse. And the one sitting on it was to him was given to take peace out of the earth in order that they should slaughter one another. And it was given to him a great short sword, actually called a slaughter knife. It was the Roman short sword that they used for in close fighting. But if you look over at 1 Thessalonians 5, don't lose Revelation. 1 Thessalonians 5, this is what Paul is talking about when he talks about when they're saying peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians 5, look down here at verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So this day of the Lord, referring to the tribulation, comes like a thief in the night. When they don't expect it, everybody's saying, well, finally we've arrived at peace and safety, and all of a sudden here comes Antichrist. Following right behind his destructive work is the removal of peace, to the end that there's wholesale slaughter of people. Now you see why I didn't preach this on Easter Sunday. Verse 5, and when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come and see, and behold a black horse, and the one sitting upon it having a pair of scales in his hand." And when you get the little pictures there, you can see that. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and the oil and the wine do not damage." Don't mess with that. So a quart of wheat is, it's a little jug of wheat about that much. So a denarius is a day's wage. You work all day for a loaf of bread, for what purposes this is. So all day long you work, and at the end of the day you get one loaf of bread. That's not enough to go very far for a family. And if you buy barley, that's a cheaper kind of grain, then you get three quarts. I don't know, the way we buy bread at our house, we hardly ever eat bread, and when we do, it's the main ingredient isn't wheat, it's gravel, I'm sure of it. Our bread's real serious. If we ever need extra shingles for our roof, I have some in my fridge. So this third seal is famine comes through, and the famine doesn't affect oil and wine. So the stuff you don't really need, like oil and wine, there's plenty of it. But the stuff you do need, that's where the shortage is. So this third horseman with the black, we call him famine. Verse 7, and when the fourth seal happened, I heard the fourth living creature saying, come and see, and behold, a corpse-colored horse. Interesting use of colors here. Corpses, the color of corpses changes based on race. You know, you North Americans, we North Americans, it turns this kind of ashen gray color. But that's the point of it. This third horse, fourth horse, is really about death. And the one sitting upon it, his name is Death. And Hades is following him, is accompanying him. In other words, when people die, they go to the place of the dead, which is Hades, and Hades is following right along with them. And it was given, an authority was given to him over the fourth of the earth. So one fourth of the whole human race in this judgment alone are killed. That's a lot of people. And they're killed in a variety of different ways. One way here, according to verse 8, by the Thracian sword, this one, the big slaughtering axe curved knife that was so big they carried it on their shoulders. So you would mow down a bunch of people with it. And by famine, hunger, and by death, you don't have to starve to death or be killed with a sword, warfare. You can just die. And by the beasts of the earth. So apparently during this time, as things go forward, the animals go crazy too. James Patterson has a series about animals that go crazy. And Sarah and I watched the first one and said, no, we're not going to. I like him as an author, but we're not going to watch this one. I think it was some titled Zoo or something like that. Scary stuff. The animals just go crazy. And so in the first part of the tribulation, you have what I'd call natural events. A warrior who's empowered by Satan, the Antichrist, and the results of him going through the earth. The second part of this chapter is the martyrs in verses 9, 10, and 11. So if you turn there to verse 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of the ones being slaughtered because of the word of God. Interesting, it's a present tense. They're actively being slaughtered and added to this congregation of martyrs, all because of the word of God. So in the tribulation, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who become believers, lots of believers. The church is not the only age in which Gentiles come to faith in Christ. The church will not be here. We will be removed. But there'll still be lots and lots of people who believe the message preached by the 144,000. And there's also an angel going through heaven giving out the message. There'll be lots and lots of people who believe in Jesus during the tribulation. But a whole lot of them are going to be slaughtered by the Antichrist. So here he says in verse 9 that the souls of the ones being slaughtered because of the word of God, he sees them under the altar. And because of the witness of the Lamb, which they were having, the imperfect tense, they're busy telling people about Jesus Christ, with the reference to the Lamb there, based on the word of God. And before that, they're killed. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Lord? This word translated Lord would be despot, ruler, king, avenger. How long, O avenger, the one who's holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood out of the ones dwelling on the earth? All right, this in verse 10 here is the second reference to the earth dwellers. You'll see that a bunch of times in the book of Revelation. These earth dwellers want nothing to do with God or with Christ the Lamb or with the coming kingdom. They're very happy with things as they are. And it was given to every one of them Every one of these martyrs was given a long, white, flowing robe. And it was said to them that they should rest, take it easy, settle down, rest yet a little while. Take some time off. Okay, you're dead. You want to be avenged. Understand that. You're pleading with God to avenge upon the earth. But you have to wait a while until it will also be made full, that is, their fellow servants and their brothers and the ones being about to be killed, as also they are. So you see these martyrs under the altar praying and asking God to avenge, and God's answer to them is, no, not yet. There are others who need to be martyred and join this whole crowd. So that brings up a real interesting theological question. Why does God allow any of those who believe in Him to die? Why not answer their prayers? And ultimately, we really don't know the answer. There are others, he says, who need to join this crowd of martyrs. When you go through the book of Revelation, you find real interesting ways of looking at prayer. One of the things we saw in the last chapter was that the prayers are in golden bowls. Every one of the 24 elders has a golden bowl, which is full of the prayers of the saints. I was talking to Sarah, and I said, man, my prayers probably wouldn't even do a Dixie cup, much less a golden bowl. And, you know, just thinking about the concept that as we pray, God is collecting those prayers as part of His honor and His splendor and His glory. And here, He's doing the same thing with the life that is being given involuntarily, but voluntarily in one sense. If they take the mark of the beast and keep their mouth shut, they wouldn't be martyrs. But there's something more important than their own life, and that's the Lamb of God and the Word of God, and they're giving out their testimony, and the result is their death. So when the ones who have already died are crying out to God for vengeance, He says, no, we'll just wait a little while, and we'll give these ones the same opportunity to spend their life as they really want to spend it. And this also is part of God's glory. Notice also, they're not disembodied spirits. They're not nether spirits floating around unattached. They're attached to God in heaven and part of the worship of God. So when we talk about death as Christians, as believers in Christ, it's not the finality, the horrible thing that it is as you look at the earth dwellers, where death and Hades is following after him and one-fourth of the earth is being thrown into the pit, as it were. All right, the third section of this chapter is in verses 12 through 17, and these are judgments. And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and now he's just going to list all the things that you're going to find in Revelation. From here to chapter 19, all of these things are going to be spelled out in greater detail, but this is a summation of what's going to happen. So we go from the first part of the tribulation with the coming of the Antichrist, and then the judgment. One-fourth of the earth is dead. A lot of believers are killed. That's the fifth seal. And then in the sixth seal, he just summarizes all of the different things that God's going to use to judge the earth. So let's look at them. Verse 12. A great earthquake happened, and the sun became black as hairy sackcloth. I don't know what hairy sackcloth is. Probably black wool. When I grew up in Arizona, we used to have Mexican sarapes. Anybody ever heard that word, sarapi? I hope I'm not making that up. It's always possible with these cultural words that nobody's ever heard of them. But it's a poncho kind of thing. And we'd go down into Tijuana and across the border in Mexico, south of old Tucson. And we'd buy trinkets to take back. And they'd sell these Mexican sarapes. And they have a hole in the center, and you put it over your head and have a big old Mexican hat. And, you know, keeps the sun off you, keeps the cold But it's that kind of a coarse wool blanket, black wool blanket. He says the sun became black and the moon became as blood. So if you've been following along in Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah, there's a number of times, some before the tribulation where you have these problems in the heavens, some during the tribulation. These are events happening in the tribulation. So the sun is black, the moon is blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth. And he says, just in case you missed this, it's like a fig tree casting its late figs being shaken by a mighty wind. So if your figs survive into the late summer and then you get your summer storm, they don't stay on the tree. It shakes them off. The stars are going to come to earth like that. This is relatively rare today. You know, we don't have new craters being created. If you want to go see where a meteor hit the planet, the closest one is in northern Arizona. And Sunset Crater's up there, and then you have to pay money. I think Amy and Friedrika went and saw it. Sarah and I decided for $15, that was a lot of money. We'd sit in the car and wait for our girls to run out there and buy their souvenirs. And whoa, guess what they saw? It was a really big hole in the ground. And, you know, whenever you have something like that that comes out of heaven and hits the earth, it does some serious, serious damage. So the stars are falling down. Verse 14. And the sky, or heaven, but this is talking about when you look up, you see the sky. The sky was being split as a scroll. In other words, it opened up, being rolled. And so the sky opens up, and you're no longer looking into the sky, but you're actually looking up into heaven. Kind of cool. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the VIPs, the very important people, and the military commanders and the rich and the real powerful, the strong, and every slave and every free man. So we're talking about all of the leaders, all the military, all the kings, anybody who's considered anything, all the rich and all the poor, slaves and free, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of mountains. And they were saying to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one sitting upon the throne. So the sky opens up, and now they are looking straight up into heaven, God's throne, and they see Him, the Father, sitting on the throne, and they also see Christ, here described, and from the wrath of the Lamb, hide us, because the great day of His wrath has come. His wrath is a reference to the Lamb. And who is able to stand? We are all in a world of trouble, they say, because now they can look up into heaven. Notice these earth dwellers aren't interested in repenting. All they're interested in doing is hiding from judgment. So this is the summation of Revelation chapter 4 through 19. God in heaven says Christ is qualified to judge, and He does. And part of what He does is allow believers who are faithful to Him and the Word of God to be martyred. You'll see what the end of these folks are in later sections. My point today is that now is a time of grace. The wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb is coming. That's during the time of the tribulation. God has not appointed believers unto wrath. Now, if a person believes in Jesus, you will be delivered from the coming wrath on this planet. So, should you believe in Jesus because you're afraid of coming judgment on the earth? Well, yes, of course you should. That's a great reason to believe in Christ, because the 7 years of judgment is nothing compared to the eternity in the lake of fire. believe in Jesus and deliver yourself from the wrath that's coming. When I was a kid, we had a singer come, and his name was Tony Fontaine. He was a famous musician, and then he was in a car accident, and he got saved, and now he sings for the Lord. I'm sure he's dead by now, but he came, and he sang, and he had a beautiful tenor voice. Some of you probably remember the name Tony Fontaine. But he came to a church in our area, and my mom and dad and I, we went to listen to the singer. And so we were there. And I remember him giving his testimony and talking. And he said, "You should believe in Jesus if for no other reason so then you don't go to the lake of fire." And as a child, I thought, well, yeah, that's a great reason to believe in Jesus. And so I had already believed in Christ. But, you know, as a kid, you hear something like that and it's out of the ordinary. You can't be too sure, right? So I stayed and talked to one of the counselors and found that that was useless. I knew more than the counselor did from my parents. But I do remember very clearly thinking, well, that makes good sense. Why would you want to go through all of this if you believe in Jesus when you get a get-out-of-jail-free card, if you're familiar with Monopoly? All right, so now you know the overview of the book of Revelation, and you've seen some cool pictures. They didn't quite make their way around, but I'll take them to lunch and you can get pizza on them. Father, we thank you for the book of Revelation and making it clear that salvation is available now, full and free, but the wrath of the Lamb is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.